Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22. And Jesus answering spoke to them again in parables, saying, "Kingdom of the heavens has become like a king who made a wedding feast for his son. Sent his bondmen to call the persons invited to the wedding feast, and they would not come. Again he sent other bondmen, saying, 'Say to the persons invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatted beasts are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they made light of it, and went, one to his own land and another to his commerce. And the rest, laying hold of his bondmen, ill-treated and slew them. And when the king heard of it, he was wroth, and having sent his forces, destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he says to his bondmen, 'The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the thoroughfares of the highways, and as many as you shall find, invite to the wedding feast.' And those bondmen went out into the highways and brought together all as many as they found, both evil and good. And the wedding feast was furnished with guests. The king, having gone in to see the guests, beheld there a man not clothed with a wedding garment. He says to him, 'My friend, how camest thou in here not having on a wedding garment?' But he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, 'Bind him feet and hands, take him away. Cast him out into the outer darkness, there shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth.'" And just a verse in Job, chapter 33. Job 33, and verse 14. "For God speaketh once and twice, and man perceiveth it not." The Lord Jesus used parables a lot when he was speaking to persons. A parable, if you like, is a story with a meaning, or more than one meaning. This is one of a series of four parables that the Lord gives in relation to the kingdom of the heavens. Really, it's speaking of a time when the king is in heaven. And so it's very relevant, you know, it's just applicable to the present dispensation. When the king is in heaven, the Lord Jesus is in heaven. But it's in relation to his interest upon the earth. Parable clearly has a meaning for the Jew. I don't intend, nor either could I, go into the detail of it. I just want to take it up in its simplicity, because there's so many touches in it as to the preaching of the glad tidings. Parable begins with a king, a great king. The king here is God himself. Lovely to think, you know, of this, that the one who is sending out this invitation is God himself. Incredible, actually, when you think about it, when you think who God is, the creator of the universe, the mighty God, the one who could speak and it was done, called the universe into being. Let's not doubt these things. You know, there's a world out there where the reality of who God is and his mighty power in creation is being called into question publicly. God made the heavens and the earth. He made the universe. In the beginning, God created. That mighty God, you know, so great and awesome in all his power. What a wonderful thing it is, you know, that God is sending out an invitation to individuals just like you and me tonight. He wants to speak to you personally because he's got something to say to you. This invitation, you know, is to a great wedding feast. And what's the purpose of it? It's for the honour of his son. That's what this feast is about. It's that the king's son, whom he dearly loves, he wants him to be honoured. And you know, that's really the essence of the gospel. The glad tidings is God's glad tidings concerning his son, our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we get sometimes very taken up with our side of the gospel and the wonderful blessings that there are available to us. Salvation and blessing and forgiveness of sins. And that's true in the gospel. But the object of it all, you know, is that God might be honoured and that his son might be honoured. Every soul that's converted, you know, is for the honour of Jesus, for his praise eternally. And so the king, you know, has a great feast. He sets on a great feast that his son might be honoured. And you know, it's just really like the glad tidings tonight, you know. There's an invitation going out that you might come in to this great celebration. Celebration of the glory of the King's Son, of the Lord Jesus. He wants you to be engaged, you know, in this scene of joy and rejoicing and praise. We speak of heaven, you know, that's what it is. It's a scene where Jesus is honoured above all. And every heart is satisfied, you know, in the knowledge of Christ. Wonderful scene, you know. And so it says the king made this wedding feast and he sent out an invitation. Just like God in the gospel tonight is inviting you to come into all the blessing that he has in his heart for you. It says, you know, that he says, behold, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatted beasts are killed. All things are ready. Come to the wedding feast. I want to think about that for a moment. You know, the preparation. We were reminded of it a couple of weeks ago when Tim was preaching. The preparation that has gone into this wedding feast. The preparation that lies behind the free and full proclamation of forgiveness of sins in the gospel. You know, my friend, if God was to welcome you into his presence, into his home, you couldn't come there, you know, as a sinner. Every one of us, you know, has been shut out in that way because we've been all been infected by that awful disease, the incoming of sin. All of sin comes short of the glory of God, and as such it's made us unfit, unsuitable for the presence of God. By one man, you know, Adam, sin entered the world, and by sin death, thus death have passed upon all, for all have sinned. What a miserable condition, you know, mankind is in. God doesn't have in mind, you know, that you might wallow in your sins. He wants to bring you into all the blessing of his heart. But if he might do so, you know, those sins that you and I have committed, those sins that we've done, said and thought, they have to be removed. Else we could never come into the presence of God. And so the preparation involved, you know, immense cost on the part of God himself. Think of this wedding feast, you know. I've killed my fatted calf. I've prepared everything. Even down, you know, to the wedding garment. All was prepared by the king here. And that's true in the gospel, you know. God has prepared everything for you to be blessed tonight. And all that he does tonight is invite you. He says, come. I've prepared everything. And you can come into it through the blessing of repentance and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean, you know? Faith in the Lord Jesus, in all that mighty work. That was the preparation. When there's a wedding prepared, a great deal of preparation goes into it. And so it is in the gospel, you know. God has had to go to great lengths to secure your blessing and mine. It's involved the giving of his only beloved son. This one who he delights to honour is the one who's come into this earth. Come into this world. Come in Bethlehem's manger, you know, that lowly stoop of the Saviour. How wonderful it is to think of it. Oh, Jesus coming into this world, the Lamb of God. And there he was, that babe in Bethlehem's manger. I love to think of that Simeon, you know, in the temple as he took the Lord in his arms. And he could look at him and see the glory and the beauty that was found in that one. Oh, what a wonderful movement it was. God come into manhood. And he walked this earth, you know, the great physician dispensing blessing and the goodness of God on every hand. Oh, but you know, if the preparation was to be complete, it meant, you know, the Lord Jesus had to go to the cross of Calvary. That's what we have to proclaim in the glad tidings tonight, you know. The cost, the preparation, the cost was immense. If your sins were to be forgiven, you know, washed away, it meant that someone else had to bear them. And so that's why the Lord Jesus, you know, having come into the world, he went to the cross of Calvary to bear the penalty of those sins. Think of what was laid upon him, you know, God took our sins, took my sins, and he laid them on Jesus. And Jesus bore them all in his own body on the tree. There he was, you know, the sacrifice, the Lamb of God. Hanging there, you know, why was he there? He was there because he loved you and because he loved me. And because God wanted to bless you. And the only way was, you know, that someone should pay the price of our sins. And that's what Jesus did on Calvary's cross. He paid the debt in full. What a debt, you know, we've accrued. Think of our sins, you know. Think of a holy, righteous, sin-hating God. And then you take a look at your life. Think of that life you've lived, you know. Every action, every thought, every word, you know, how full of sins they are. What a debt, you know, we accrue in our lifetime here. A debt of sin. And there's no way that we could pay it whatsoever. There's only one who could pay that debt. And that was Jesus, and he paid it on Calvary. He paid that debt, you know, he paid the debt to God. That's who we've sinned against. We've sinned against God. The debt was paid by God. It was paid by Jesus, his only beloved son. And it was paid to God. Think of that, you know. The debt was paid to God. The price, the penalty, was paid. It was paid there for God's glory and praise, that you might be brought into this scene where you could be blessed. Oh, Jesus, you know, bore the penalty of sin and sins in its entirety. Those 3 hours of terrifying darkness, you know, as we think of them. Think of the Lord Jesus as he was in the garden. He could shrink from it, couldn't he? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. The perfection of the sacrifice of Jesus. In every step he walked here, you know, he was pleasing to God. Proved his sinlessness, proved his perfection in every step. And then, you know, as he could go to the cross of Calvary. Oh, think of him there. When reviled, reviled not again. When suffering, threatened not. The perfection of the Lamb of God who laid down his life to pay the penalty of your sins and mine. Oh, how wonderful the sacrifice of Jesus is. Let's never forget it, you know. The penalty, the price of this preparation that you might be brought into blessing has been immense. It's cost God everything. It's cost him the death of his only beloved son. It's cost Jesus everything in the giving of himself on the cross of Calvary. Oh, what lengths have been gone to for your blessing and mine tonight. Thank God, you know, the story doesn't end at the cross. The Lord Jesus taken down from the cross, laid in the grave, but raised again the third day, and now ascended and in heaven, a mighty Saviour, a Prince and a Saviour, available for whosoever will tonight. Why has he returned to heaven? Because he's completed the work that the Father gave him to do. The work is done. It's finished. The preparation is absolutely complete. Jesus has done it all. And all that's required, you know, is for you to accept the invitation. Think of that, you know. God says tonight, you know, I've got a wonderful home above for you for all eternity, where your soul can be satisfied, where you can know peace and joy that you could never imagine. And he says, you know, I've done everything that you might come into that blessing. He says, won't you come tonight? And sends out the invitation. Think of this, you know, even if you just read this as a story, it's very, very sad, isn't it? He sends the invitation. He says, say to the persons invited, behold, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatted beasts are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding feast. And it says, but they made light of it. They made light of it. Went one to his own land and another to his commerce. Think of that, you know. You know, not many people actually refuse wedding invitations. Most people like to come, especially when there's a great feast on. Think of this, you know, they made light of this invitation. The immensity of the preparation that had gone into it. He'd done everything that was required, right down to the provision of the wedding garment. Everything was prepared and everything available. And sends out the invitation, come. And what does it say? They made light of it. Think of that, you know. And that's sad in the gospel, so true in the gospel tonight, you know. You think of all that has been done, that the sinner might have his sins forgiven. And yet men refuse it. Not even refuse it. They made light of it. It doesn't mean anything. What does it say in Hebrews? You know, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Ah, oh, it's a great salvation indeed. It's come at the greatest cost that could possibly be imagined. How shall we neglect? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You know, neglect isn't a positive thing, it's just a negative thing. It's not a positive refusal. You're not saying I don't want it, I'll not have it. It's just indifference. Indifference. And yet that's what we find today, isn't it? Indifference to the claims of God, the appeal of his grace. He sends out his invitation to whosoever will. Oh, I don't want it, I can't be bothered. One to his commerce, and one to, what does it say? There's one made light of it, one to his land and another to his commerce. Other things more interesting, other things more important. What could be more important than the destiny of your never dying soul? Have you thought about that, my friend? What about your soul? Where will it spend eternity? God has the best in mind for you in the gospel. What about you? Have you thought about it? Where are you going to spend eternity? What a wonderful provision God has made. And all that's required for you is to accept it. Repentance and faith. Are you just going to refuse it? Are you just going to turn your back upon it? That's what myriads out there are doing tonight. I want to ask you tonight, what are you doing with God's invitation in the gospel? Are you just going to make light of it and ignore it? What does it mean to you, you know, that God has done everything for your blessing? How sad it is, it says that the rest laying hold of his bond when ill-treated and slew them. Well, the king heard of it, he was wroth, destroyed those murderers, burned their city. But he says to his bondman, the wedding feast, he says, it's ready. He says, the wedding feast is ready. Those invited weren't worthy. Well, I think we can understand, you know, in the parable, he's speaking of the Jew. And those invited weren't interested. He says, go out, he says, go out into the highways and invite to the wedding feast, thoroughfares of the highways, and as many as you shall find, invite to the wedding feast. And they went out and brought together all as many as they found, both evil and good. Isn't that wonderful, you know, in the gospel tonight, that it goes out to whosoever will? You know, from the king in his palace, right down to the lowest person in the land, whosoever will, the gospel, you know, is available for absolutely everyone. No one's outside of the scope of the gospel. You know, the gospel's such a leveller. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God, no matter how mighty or how low, all sinned. All under the same judgment. And the remedy is the same for all. Wonderful, isn't it? That Jesus is the answer for the need of every sinner in the land tonight. Wonderful, he's available to you. He's available to whosoever will. The invitation went out that the wedding feast might be furnished with guests. You know, God isn't going to be defeated. His house will be filled. My question to you, my friend, is will you be there? Will you be there? Lovely scene this is, you know, this wedding feast. Everything provided. Lovely scene, you know. Question is, what about you? Are you going to be at the wedding feast? Are you going to be there to honour Jesus? Well, the story goes on, doesn't it? You know, it says the wedding feast was furnished with guests. And then it goes on this little bit at the end, which is very telling. It says, the king, having gone in to see the guests, beheld there a man not clothed with a wedding garment. Not clothed with a wedding garment. You know, this king had provided everything. And God has provided everything in the gospel. You can add nothing whatsoever to the blessing that you'll receive in the gospel. It's all been done. Jesus has done it all on the cross of Calvary. He cried, "It is finished." Work of redemption done, you know. The righteous basis laid by God for the blessing of the sinner. All done. This man, you know, he thought he could come in with his own thoughts, his own garments. Sad, isn't it? You know, you think of this, everything prepared. This man speaks to me of someone, you know, who thought that they could add something. They could come on their own terms to get the blessing. There's many people like that, you know. They think they can earn their way to blessing in the gospel. Earn their salvation. What an insult. You know, the best had been provided for this man. The garment, the wedding garment that was suitable for the presence of the king had been provided. And he'd refused it and thought, I'll wear my own. Think of that, you know. That's really what it is. It's an insult to grace to think that you can add one single iota to your blessing. For God has done everything to his eternal satisfaction. Speaks too, you know, of the profession. By that I mean those that profess to be Christians. Solemn thing, you know, that in the Gospels the Lord draws attention to this more than once. Speaks of the parable of the wheat and the tares. Two crops that grow up together, you know, and they look the same. And yet the day came, you know, when they had to be separated. You know, it's no good looking like a Christian. It's no good looking like you've accepted the invitation. You have to put on the wedding garment. The wedding garment is the Lord Jesus and his finished work. That is all that God requires for your blessing, you know. This man hadn't put it on. He wasn't a true believer. And that's my burden tonight, you know. I want to ask you tonight, you know, have you really accepted Jesus as your saviour? Solemn outcome, you know, to this man here. My friend, he says, how camest thou not in here, not having a wedding garment? What answer can he give, you know? Speechless. Challenge, you know, was raised, but he was speechless. He had nothing to say. Many people think, you know, when they come into the presence of God, they're going to have plenty to say for themselves. This man, you know, was rendered speechless. He had nothing to say. He was naked and laid bare before the one who could see everything. And so it will be, you know. We need to ensure, my friend, that you have truly repented and put your trust in the Lord Jesus. What a solemn thing happens here. It says, then said the king to the servants, bind him feet and hands, take him away and cast him out into the outer darkness. It should be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Oh, what a terrible picture, you know, to be lost. And that's what we're dealing with, you know, tonight. You're either saved or you're lost. There is no in between. At this moment, you're either saved or you're lost. You're not going to be saved or going to be lost. You're one or the other. And the moment is urgent. That's why I read this verse in Job, you know. God speaks once and twice. Man perceiveth it not. How many gospel preachings have you been to? How many gospel preachings have you been to? You know, if you've come every week for 10 years, well, that's 500 odd. God speaks once, twice. Appeal again in the glad tidings tonight, you know. God's appeal is invitations going out to you, that you might repent and put your trust in the Saviour, trust in his precious finished work and the blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary. Are you under the shelter of that blood? You know, God's speaking again tonight, inviting you. Have you accepted the invitation? Once, twice you've heard it. How many more times? You know, the Lord may come. That's what every believer is looking for. As we've said so many times, this may be your last opportunity. The Lord Jesus may come. You may pass out of this life by way of death. Make no mistake, it's not morbid to think about it, it's a fact. Or even more solemn, my friend, you might have heard the gospel time after time after time and hardened your heart against it. Think of that, you know, until eventually it just washes over you. You know, and maybe God never appeals to you again. I think that's such a terrifying thought, you know. Think of that. Solemn, isn't it? Speaks once, twice, yes, he's appealing again tonight. But you know, you may miss the opportunity if you constantly reject him. You know, in the parable that we read of, where he speaks about these persons, those that he sent the invitation to first were the Jew. That was Israel. He says that, you know, he sent out the invitation. That was the Lord's own work when he was here. He appealed to his own. He came to his own. He says his own received him not. Wedding feast was prepared, you know, the work was done. He sent out appeal to his nation again. by the apostles, the preaching of the gospel began in Jerusalem. Wonderful, you know, to think of the grace of God. But what does it say? It says they wouldn't hear, they wouldn't listen. And so in the parable, what does it say? He will destroy those persons and destroy that city. That's what happened. Their city, Jerusalem, was destroyed not many years later. That's what actually happened. Think of that, you know. The appeal and another appeal. But, you know, rejected. And what's left, you know, nothing but judgment. How solemn it is in the glad tidings, isn't it? You have an opportunity tonight. Once, twice, God is speaking. He may never call thee more. That's what the hymn says, you know. Once, yea, twice, he may have spoken. He may never call again. Tonight, you know, is the well-accepted time. Tonight is the day of salvation. God has done everything. The preparation is complete. He says, come. Come to the wedding feast. You know, if you come tonight, you know, to honour the Lord Jesus, the one who has died for you, shed his precious blood for you, the one who's been to death for you, defeated its power, and is alive again at the right hand of God. That's the Saviour we present in the glad tidings. If we'll come to him tonight, you know, there'll be joy in heaven over one sinner repenting. And you know, the praise of the Lord, the praise of God will be swelled by another one. How wonderful, you know. Come to the wedding feast. Come, accept the invitation. Put your trust in the Saviour tonight for his name's sake.